was good morning. And it's good to be here. During worship, I pulled up one of the songs because I'm always struck by sometimes the worship leader is kind of sometimes in tune with the Holy Spirit. And as I prepared the message today or this week, I went through some changes. It morphed around for me. And this morning, it went into a different direction than I had originally planned. But as we were practicing in worship this morning, the song, You Gave Your Life Away, really spoke to the message this morning. You spoke and worlds were formed, and you breathed and life was formed. Life was born. You knew that one day you would come so far from heaven's throne. Clothed in human form, you showed the world the Father's love. And that was stood out for me this morning. Last week, Brad gave a very good introduction to where we're headed for the new series called The Path of Life. So those who were away and you're coming back, we're starting a new series, The Path of Life. And he broke down the three sections that we're looking at in the series. He broke the call to dependency, the first one, legitimate needs and God's provision for us. The second one is fall to independence, which is brokenness and sin. And the third is the return to the Lord, repentance. Reminding us that this series is not about justification. He explained that to us. It's about sanctification. And this is focusing on the Lord growing us up as his children. We didn't just get a free get out of the fire ticket. But we are now invited to a vibrant, loving, interactive, and meaningful relationship with our Heavenly Father, where life is not primarily focused on us, but rather our life is focused on God and the good work that he wants to complete in us. And so we're entered into a dependent relationship with God our Father. So we'll be looking into Psalm 16 for a while at the beginning of the series. And if you haven't read it yet, we encourage you to really begin reading this chapter 16, throughout the weeks. So that's kind of your homework, is continually read Psalm 16 over and over. There's lots of things in that chapter. I think we can even stay with one word, and we can just say one word over and over again and still receive God's truth. But read Psalm 16. In the week, and ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and revelation for your life, and what he would like to do in you and do in our body as a community. So we're going to read this morning together from the Amplified Version. So if you want to pull that up. All right, let's read Psalm 16 together. Now, you don't have to read... Let's just start reading from Keep. Keep and protect me, O God, for in you I have found refuge, and in you do I put my trust and hide myself. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good beside or beyond you. As for the godly, the saints who are in the land, they are the excellent, the noble, and the glorious, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who choose another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen and assigned portion, my cup. You hold and maintain my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good heritage. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Yes, my heart instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory, my inner self, rejoices. My body too shall rest and confidently dwell in safety. For you will not abandon me to Sheol, the place of the dead. Neither will you suffer to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So as we begin to talk about the call to dependency and God's provision for our legitimate needs, I'm going to be focusing this morning on the verses 6 and verse 2, but beginning with verse 6. The lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good heritage. That's the Amplified Version. And the message reads, you set me up with a house and yard, and then you made me your heir. And the NIV reads, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. So as I was meditating this week on this scripture, I kept hearing the words contentment as I read, specifically verse 6. The word celebration came to my mind. And oh, what joy, the love of the Father. These were kind of the things that were grounding me as I was reading that. And I sense the Lord saying, it's time to settle and celebrate all the good that he has for us as we live our lives as adopted sons and daughters. We're his heirs, and so he's kind of settling that. We're his heirs. Let's live in that place. As an earthly dad, and having been a missionary for quite some time, and now knowing that we as a family are really called to aggressively walk in faith in all areas of our life, including finances, I've had to wrestle with this notion that my daughter's needs to get and have everything. I think when you're a parent, you go, I will give you the moon. I'll go everything. I've really battled that, because as a missionary, you don't have a lot of extra. So all around me is this pressure to meet her every need and want. It's blaring at us all the time. And so I've actually had to battle this culture of instant gratification as it pertained to my life, but also my daughter's life. And what I've settled into is the realization that a spiritual inheritance is a great and delightful inheritance. And my mentor keeps pressing that into me. That's what you're offering your daughter. I may not be able to provide our daughter with the earthly riches and gold, but what I can offer her is a rich emotional and spiritual inheritance. And this is much more valuable than anything the world can offer her. And I believe the Lord delights in this posture. I think this is where we're all called to live, actually, and that we take, in this posture that we take, and when we seek first the kingdom of God, his desire is that we seek the kingdom of God first, and this is where our boundary lines have fallen for us in pleasant places, and we dwell with God and keep him always before us. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you that your ways are higher than our ways. And I thank you that you're not asking us to have it all together or to know everything, but you've invited us on a journey of a relationship with you, a call to dependency. And I thank you for the truth that your very word formed us. You formed everything with your word. And so today I ask that your word would penetrate into our hearts. Would you speak truth to us? Whatever is not of you, I ask that it would just blow to the side. But Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would move and interpret the word of God in us today. I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. So this morning, put all the bushes and trees here, because we're going back into the garden. Surprise, surprise. I feel like I've been saying that a lot. We're going into the garden. But this morning, we're going to look at how God provided for mankind back in Genesis. We won't necessarily look at the fall to independence and sin, but rather how God designed things to be and what did he provide for us in the creation narrative. God created all things and made all things, and it was good. He created male and female in his image, and this was very good. God created with his voice. What struck me reading Genesis were these three words as he created the world. Three words are, "And God said." It was a profound eye-opener. I think I've read that creation narrative many times, but I was struck by those three words, "And God said." And then things were formed. So we spoke it into being, and then it was formed. Out of God's mouth, the whole universe and everything in it was created. The heavens and the earth, day and night, the sky, the seas, the land, the planets, stars, sun, moon, living creatures in the sea, on the land, and in the air. And he made male and female in his image. God spoke things into being. The very words he formed came into existence. And then God created. So that's Cole's Notes version of the beginning of Genesis. But I don't know about you, but I find it quite fascinating when scientists and astronomers find something new. I don't know if you've heard recently, but they found some new planets, planets that are very similar to Earth. They're a little bit larger, but they're thinking that it's pretty similar to what our Earth looks like, and they're fascinated by it. And I love when they're discovering things and they post things, and it shows that we have a really big universe, that people will search and search, and they will still unpack and find something new. And I can't be, when I hear that, and I go, wow, the complexities of God's amazing, intricate work. I'm in awe of the Lord. It sets me into a time where I can just, wow, that's amazing, God. When I look at science and biology, I see a complexity of things that always point me back to God and who created all things that had meaning and purpose. Even our bodies, the intricate part of our bodies and how everything works together. I think of that and I stand in awe of that. And as I read Genesis as well as Psalm 16, I see how God planned for us specific boundaries to live in, which were pleasant places, a great inheritance. So Genesis 1, 27 to 30, I don't have it on the screen, but I'll just read it. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, and everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. Genesis 2:8. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden were the trees of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then moving to verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." So God created this amazing garden, this place, and then he put man there to tend the garden. God saw the need of the garden first and foremost. He said, "Someone needs to tend it." And so he put man to inhabit it and to take care of it. And I believe that he also knew the need of man for purpose and meaning and pleasure. And at that point, not one of painful toil. This was a place for man to enjoy and to find purpose. So he put man in the garden to enjoy his environment, Trees were created and were pleasing to the eye, it says, and good for food. So what other needs did God provide for? I'm going to read Genesis 2, 18 to 25. Then God said, "It was not good for man to be alone. I will make a suitable helper for him." Now the Lord God formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of Adam, and he brought her to the man. The man exclaimed, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked and felt no shame." Psalm 16:6. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. So the boundary lines had fallen for Adam and Eve, or I call the woman in my message, because Adam later named her Eve. I took note of that as well. Adam named her woman at first, and then after the encounter with God, Adam named her Eve. But they delighted in this pleasant place. They had a delightful inheritance, their relationship with the Lord, caring for the garden, helping each other out. We see God's handiwork and care providing for all his creation. This is not a haphazardly whipping things together creation where it just comes together for the sake of forming something, but really this was showing us through his creation narrative that God was providing good provisions of need. And so what struck me as I was reading it, I asked the Lord, kind of, what are some of the needs that you were providing for this picture of the creative narrative? And I kind of wrestled with five needs that I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm going to talk about physical needs, kind of food and creation. I have on there venture, but I didn't unpack that in venture part. But I think that comes with creation and enjoying creation. The second one is rest and Sabbath. The third is purpose and meaning. The fourth is marriage and friendship. And the fifth one is boundaries and laws. So physical needs. When I read through chapter one and the creation story, I can't help but be put in awe of what God has created. I'm a person who loves nature and being out in the wilds, and I'm in awe of what God created. So I may be biased there. Some people don't like nature and don't like to be in the outdoors, but I stand in awe. There's nothing like a sunset over the ocean. There's nothing like a sunset over the vast prairie, and or a mountaintop view, or going under the ocean and seeing amazing things under the ocean. God's handiwork is amazing. I love looking at and listening to people's travel stories and see the places they've been. I talked to John after his travels overseas, and he was showing me pictures, and I just stood in awe of the things that he saw and encountered. And so I lived through John's story and his adventure. But here God has provided for our physical needs of food and sustenance. That was what God was doing when he created all the animals, all the vegetation, and as he created us. Later in Genesis 3, God also makes garments for Adam and Eve, and he clothed them. Throughout the Word of God, we read about feasts. And so I kind of went, here we see God meeting our need, but throughout the Word of God, we see this imagery of food, a wedding feast, a banqueting table. Isaiah 25:6 says, "The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain. A banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow, and refined aged wine. So we see how when the Israelites left Egypt, God provided them food in their travels and their journey to the Promised Land. And we see Jesus provide food for the 5,000. And the greatest gift was that his body became the bread and his blood became the wine, which we continue to take part in, remembering his sacrifice. So there's these imageries of food throughout the Word of God, but began here in the creation narrative as God provided all things for us. I remember when I left my own Egypt and my slavery, I was walking away from everything that I knew, all material worth. I was 39 and starting again in life, moving from Vancouver to Winnipeg. And some wouldn't necessarily call this an exodus to the Promised Land. Looking back, I don't. And many people didn't understand this move. But for me, I knew God was calling me back to where I came, where I ran from. And he clearly promised me that if I trusted him, he would provide all my needs. And it wasn't just emotional and spiritual needs, but it was physical needs. It was food and shelter. God provided that for me. It looked different than I thought it would look, but it was the way God provided. As I traveled back by truck to Winnipeg, I was afforded 3 days to be in awe of God's creation, traveling up from Vancouver to Winnipeg. And I saw his provision each step of the way. And I think we can stop sometimes and reflect on, God, where are you providing? And where have you provided for us in our life? And I think he asks us to remember that. So this continues to be something that I look at and meditate on. For me, the boundary lines had fallen for me in pleasant places, and surely I had a delightful inheritance. And so number two, rest, the Sabbath. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing on the seventh day, and he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating and all that he had done. Here we see God providing for us a picture of work and rest, but also a day to set apart as a holy day, to keep Sabbath holy. I think we could do a whole message on Sabbath and meanings of rest and different types of rest. God calls us often to rest in him, to come by the streams of living water and rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures as a picture of rest. But for today, I see a God who built within our human structure a need to rest, a need to worship and set apart our day for his glory. The Jews' holy day of rest and reflection is observed each Saturday, which fulfills the third of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And most Christians have traditionally kept Sunday as a weekly day of rest in adaptation of the Jewish observance and in commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus. So I won't go into deep things with rest, but we're going to move into purpose and meaning. And this is where really God showed a light for me in this area. God created this garden, this amazing place, and then put man there to tend the garden. He saw the need of the garden and placed man to inhabit it and tend to it. And I believe that he also knew the need of man for purpose and meaning. He could have just put man in there and man would just roam the garden and enjoyed it, but he knew that man would need purpose, intrinsically have a purpose for something. The trees were created and were pleasing to the eye and good for food. He also had the privilege of naming the animals and then naming his suitable helper, woman, and then he renamed her Eve, the mother of all offspring. And I look at this as a pivotal picture of a father speaking life. And right from those three words that struck me at the beginning of Genesis, and God said, the creative narrative, and God said, and then he called it, and it was formed. God our Father uses his voice to create and form all things. He created man to use his voice to name and give meaning to his children. This was a provision. In all my years of working in ministry and listening to countless stories of people's lives, what has struck me was the effect of fatherlessness has had on mankind. Where the voice of the father was absent, there was often a deep wrestle with the person to find meaning and purpose. Who were they? What purpose did they have in life? So I see here a God providing here the voice of creation, and God said. But he also created it in man to be the voice of formation, his voice to speak and name things, and ultimately God's voice that we can trust because he is our faithful father to answer. And then we move to friendship and marriage. It wasn't good for man to be alone. And even as Adam set out to name and find a suitable helper, God saw this and provided for Adam's need. He provided the perfect helper for Adam, and he created Eve. And within this provision of need, God established for us the boundary lines of sexual expression, which was to be established between one woman and one man in marriage, to leave one's mother and father and be united as one. But God also provides for us an even greater picture for us in this place is to bear his image. And he created us male and female, uniquely different, but created in his image, male and female. So he fundamentally created us to complement one another in friendship, in honor, in respect, and love, with good and healthy boundaries. And as we do this, the world sees God's image being made manifest in the world around them. God desires us to find our meaning and purpose in him first and foremost. And our call to dependency is on him and not others. And when we do this, we can love others well. John 15:12-15. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I commanded you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I grew up with this great distortion of what it was to walk as male. I didn't know how it was to bless, honor, respect, and cherish the opposite gender as sisters. I more often than not, because of my brokenness, toyed with their emotions and became their emotional confidant. Before I met Paula and in my healing journey, I encountered God's wisdom in how to relate and be respectful with good boundaries. And in that place, I desired to be a good brother. As I fostered this in my life, God brought Paula into my life to shake things up a little bit. And he's doing a good shaking. He tested me in this place, and in the end, we got married. But this isn't the highest calling. I found this, I wanted to reiterate this. God wanted me to foster friendship above all else. And that's his highest calling, how we treat one another. We sometimes in the church, we think, well, just get married. And I think we do a great disservice to singles because our highest calling is to be single. And our highest calling is to be married. There's no greater calling. Neither one of them is higher than the other. And we need to walk that out and bless each other. So we need to, I think God provided that picture in the creative narrative. It showed man and male and female as suitable helpers, but he first created us male and female to complement each other and to honor that and walk with each other. So singleness is a high calling, and so is marriage. Neither is better than the other. And then God created boundaries for us and laws. God made it pretty clear to Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of good and evil, and not even touch it, it says. Because if they did, they would surely die. God provided a boundary for them for their good. And this is this pleasant place where God provided for so much of their enjoyment, and told them, when they told them about the tree, that this is a bad tree. Stay away from this tree. And they did. And I don't know, it appears that Adam and Eve didn't even give the tree a second glance. They don't talk about that or impact it. And we don't know how long Adam and Eve lived in the garden before the serpent came. But what I had pictured is that God had said this tree was bad. And so they didn't even look at it, because they trusted God. He was faithful, and he said it was bad, so we're going to listen to him. But when the serpent came along, he spoke to them about the tree. They were both there. And he has a conversation with Eve. When he did, he talked about the tree, and then Eve looked at the tree with a different perspective. She saw the tree as desirable, good for food and to gain wisdom, it says. She looked at the tree, and that's what she saw. But what did she think about the tree before the serpent had said those words? I think Eve probably looked at it and said it was a bad tree. Don't even look at it. But here, the serpent had said another word. And then after they ate the fruit, and God entered the picture, and before they could eat from the tree of life, a new boundary was set for them. So they wouldn't live forever in a fallen state. God provided them covering. He took away the shame of their nakedness and ushered them out of the garden. And this was another boundary and another provision that God provided for. God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are higher than ours. When we take matters into our hands, when we believe others' voices that go contrary to the word of God, we depart from the pleasant places. The creation narrative shows us a clear picture that apart from the Lord, we have no good thing. But God is faithful and trustworthy, slow to anger and abounding in love. He longs for us to grow in the knowledge of his provision and the call to dependency on him. I'm going to read Psalm 16 out of the Message. You don't have to read along. Keep me safe, O God. I've run for dear life to you. I say to God, be my Lord. Without you, nothing makes sense. And these God-chosen lives all around, what splendid friends they make. Don't just go shopping for a god. Gods are not for sale. I swear I'll never treat god names like brand names. My choice is you, God first and only. And now I find I'm your choice. You set me up with a good house and yard, and then you made me your heir. The wise counsel God gives when I'm awake is confirmed by my sleeping heart. Day and night, I'll stick with God. I've got a good thing going, and I'm not letting go. I'm happy from the inside out and from the outside in. I'm firmly formed. You canceled my ticket to hell. That's not my destination. Now you've got my feet on the path of life, all radiant from the shining of your face. Ever since you took my hand, I'm on the right way. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your creation, and I thank you for the ways that you provide for us. Your provision is without end. Lord, I pray that you would grant us the ability to see how you provide. No matter what season we're in, or where our feet have landed, no matter where our feet are on the journey of life, I ask that you would show us, even if it's an image in creation, it's a sunset or a sunrise, or good friends who walk along the path with us. Or if it's the abundance of food and the picture of your body. Lord, show us that. This week I ask that we would be in awe of your creation. That we would be in awe of who we are as your sons and daughters, your heir. And would we celebrate that, Lord? Would we celebrate who we are this week? And as we call and walk out our call of dependency on you, Lord, I ask that you would keep our eyes focused on you before us. So that when the words of deception come, the words of did God really say that? Is his promises really true? That you would remind us, Lord, of who we are. Remind us, Lord.
If my heart is So what is it that we need? That's the question that Kenny's has left us today. And I want to encourage you to continue to reflect on that question. Lord, what is it that I really need? And I know that the answer to that question can come out in different ways. And that was a question that the enemy was able to manipulate in the garden. You know, what is it that do we really trust God to meet our needs? And as you go, we're just going to just spend a few moments in reflection. But as you reflect on that, as you go from here, my encouragement is to stay in Psalm 16 and just allow the Holy Spirit to really address that question. Lord, what is it that I really need? And how do you want to meet my needs, Lord? If you are my portion and my cup, if you are my inheritance, Lord, how is it that I have my needs met in you? And we want to just kind of soak in those questions in these days and just really wait on the Lord to reveal how he wants to meet those needs in us. Why don't we just spend a few moments in just quiet prayer? Father, we want to thank you for your creation. Lord, for taking care of us in so many ways, just in this amazing world you've created for us. Lord, we want to thank you for things as simple as food and shelter. We want to thank you for supplying our needs in very practical ways. Lord, we thank you and thank you for expressing your care for us. In the day to day, give us eyes to see how many ways you supply for us. Help us to hear that you love us in the very physical provisions that you give. And Father, we also want to thank you for relationships. We want to thank you for the people you've placed in our lives to come alongside us and meet needs. Lord, we know that you meet our needs through others. And we want to thank you for the loved ones you've put in our lives. Help us to appreciate them again, to be grateful for your provision in our lives. And Lord, we want to thank you for your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for how you supply every deep need within us that we don't even perceive. We want to thank you for how you've answered our prayers, how you've stood by us in difficult times, how you've supplied strength when we needed it, joy when we didn't have any, when you filled us with love when we needed that. Lord, we are grateful for the supply of every need. Lord, help us and remind us to come back to you, the source of all good things. Draw us back again and again, day after day after day. Remind us who our supplier is, and that we are not alone. You have not abandoned us. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Just as a response, I felt led during worship and during the message that if there are those who have a need for healing, need prayer, we're going to break out some oil today. And that's just one way that the Lord supplies our needs, is we can pray for one another, ask the Lord for healing. And so if you need healing today, whether that be physical or there's some emotional healing that you're in need of, come after the service. I'm going to bless you and release you, but come and we'll just, whoever wants to help us pray. If you want to be praying for people, I just invite you to help us to pray as well. And we'll lift up our needs before the Lord. So let me bless you and release you. Let's stand together. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace in the name of Jesus.